According to a government report last year, Hurricane Maria took a $43 billion toll on Puerto Rico's economy. The federal government has been unwilling to provide a comprehensive aid package, and when Puerto Rico's food stamp program was forced to cut benefits back in March, Congress couldn't work out a deal to provide funding, and the legislation has continued to stall. But lost in the political back and forth are the children on the island, those who have endured the lingering effects of a disaster that has impacted nearly every aspect of their lives. And now a new study is pointing to lasting signs of trauma. Rosara Orengo Aguayo is an assistant professor and clinical psychologist at the National Crime Victims Research and Treatment Center at the Medical University of South Carolina, and she joins me now to discuss her findings. Rosara, welcome to The Takeaway.
Thank you.
So based on your research, 7% of children in Puerto Rico have shown post-traumatic stress disorder related to Hurricane Maria. First of all, what are the symptoms the children were showing?
We actually work very closely with teachers, pediatricians to identify the following signs. If you see a child that normally would be engaging with other children, socializing, gets good grades, and all of a sudden starts getting worse grades, isolates, or becomes aggressive, that might be a potential sign. You might also see children that are telling you that they can't sleep or that look really groggy all the time, and that wasn't normal for them. That's another potential sign. And finally, we have children who start telling you that they think a lot about the hurricane or the scary thing that happens, or when it starts to rain, they freak out, or when the lights go out, they freak out. Those are all signs of potential traumatic stress that need to be evaluated.
Can you remind us what these children experienced that led to them experiencing PTSD?
So all of my family and my husband's family is still in Puerto Rico, and I'm from Puerto Rico. So we really saw in the United States mainland a live depiction of the destruction via Facebook, via Twitter. And really what we're talking about is roofs being blown up, flooding, flash flooding everywhere in the island. All of the electricity poles in the island fell down. We're talking about landslides. And what people remember the most, and children will tell you, is this loud, unbearable noise that felt like the entire house was just going to fly away.
Tell me how you went about the study. What was the methodology?
So a few days after Maria impacted the island, some of my great colleagues who are now postdoctoral fellows at MIT and Harvard were in Puerto Rico, and they went to Command Central, where all the heads of state met in the San Juan area, and said, how can we help? And there they ran into the ex-secretary of the Puerto Rico Department of Education. And the secretary said, we need trauma experts. So my colleagues WhatsApp me, and we started via spotty Wi-Fi, Google Docs, WhatsApp, a plan to help children of Puerto Rico recover. And this study came about because we believe in partnerships, and the Puerto Rico Department of Education needed a needs assessment. They wanted to understand what children were going through. So we consulted with national experts, came up with the evidence-based standard of surveys after a hurricane, and then the Puerto Rico Department of Education, with the help of volunteer teachers and administrators, gave this to over 96,000 public school students in the island.
What are the differences in how children experience PTSD compared to adults?
Children are uniquely vulnerable to trauma. Think about it. Children depend not only on themselves, but on adults. So not only did they have a very difficult life event where they felt like their life might have been in danger, most children experience at least 3 to 8 months without electricity, access to portable water, schools had not opened. And on top of that, they're surrounded by adults who themselves have experienced trauma, who may be dysregulated, who may be anxious, lost their jobs. So their entire social support network is impacted. And this often aggravates symptoms for children.
What are some of the long-term effects of this trauma if it goes untreated?
We're talking about children, first of all, having mental health impacts. So, for example, we know that children with PTSD might go on also to develop depression, anxiety. Their grades might suffer because they can't concentrate in class, because their mind is always thinking about the bad things that can happen. Then this, in turn, can impact their ability to relate to other children and adults. And if this goes untreated, frankly, we're talking about potential involvement in substance use, having suicidal ideation, and eventually this can impact their adult life in terms of achieving a healthy life.
What types of treatment are currently available for Puerto Rican children who are experiencing PTSD, and where are the gaps?
We know from the literature and decades of study that the evidence-based treatment for trauma in kids is called trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, or its school equivalent, cognitive behavioral intervention for trauma in school, CBITS. And unfortunately, in Puerto Rico, just as in many areas of the United States, we have what we call a professional shortage area in mental health, meaning that the majority of professionals that have training in evidence-based psychotherapy, such as TFCBT, are located near the Capitol in San Juan and the metropolitan districts. So we're talking about more than 90% of the island doesn't have access to evidence-based treatments. And our team specifically has been working with the Puerto Rico Department of Education, the University Carlos Albizu in San Juan in Mayagüez, and the University of Puerto Rico in Río Piedras Ciencias Médicas to train providers in these evidence-based treatments.
What exactly is the treatment that these children can get?
This, when we're talking about trauma-focused cognitive behavioral therapy, we're talking about an evidence-based treatment, usually over 12 to 18 sessions individually with the patient and in parallel with the caregiver, where we're teaching specific skills that we know work, such as identifying their emotions, labeling them, identifying difficult thoughts and how we can think about them in a more helpful way, providing coping skills such as relaxation and mindfulness skills, and also what we call exposure. So whenever something scary happens, we tend to avoid it, and that actually makes the problem worse. So in a controlled, safe, professional way, we help students tell their stories about the trauma and think about it in a way that makes them feel safer and like they overcame it.
Rosara Orengo Aguayo is assistant professor and clinical psychologist at the Medical University of South Carolina. Rosara, thank you.
Thank you.